This episode is brought to you by our Patreon supporters. Thank you for funding all of our new swag.
Welcome back, everybody, to My Fave Queer Chemist. I'm your host, Beck.
And I'm Geraldo. Happy Black History Month, y'all. We are so excited to share the stories of some incredible Black LGBTQ plus chemists in the coming weeks.
With that, here's our show. Today, we are so excited to introduce y'all to an incredible chemist and graduate student. Would you mind introducing yourself?
Sure. Hi, guys. My name is Tammy Mensa. My pronouns are she, her. And I am a fourth year graduate student at UCLA studying materials chemistry in the lab of Ann Andrews and Paul Weiss.
Nice. So let's get started, right? So can you tell us about your experience as an undergrad at the University of Central Florida, and how was that transition from Florida to the West Coast now for grad school?
Well, I had an amazing experience at UCF. I started my research as a freshman, and I finished my research on my last day of my fifth year of undergrad in the same lab. And so I had a really great relationship with that professor, and she just sort of propelled me into a whole bunch of different opportunities that landed me at UCLA, where I'm working on materials, some biosensors work. And so far, it's been a great experience at UCLA on the West Coast. I love surfing and I love the food. So it's been great.
Did you do a lot of surfing in Florida? Is there surfing in Florida?
There is, but there's a lot of sharks. I have several friends who have been bitten by sharks.
Several?
Yeah, like,
yeah. Oh my god. Oh my god, that's terrifying.
Yeah, it was scary for me, but thankfully on the West Coast there's not as many sharks that are up on near the shore.
Yeah.
Because they're kind of bigger, so they don't go as far as close up. So it's a little bit safer.
Yeah.
Nice.
So you mentioned, that's very interesting. So you started doing research in your freshman year. That's like usually not very common. I don't know, at least in my school, we usually start at the end of your sophomore year, more or less. Can you talk a little bit about that? How you found that opportunity?
Yeah, so my first year at UCF was also the first year of my PI's tenure career. And so when we found each other through the first chemistry class that I took, she was teaching. And that's how we found each other. And she invited me to join her lab later after that semester ended. Mm-hmm. And I kind of stayed in her lab for 5 years.
That's so nice.
That's amazing. Yeah. Like, I feel like getting to start really like research young in your career can be a super formative experience. I also started research my freshman year near the end of it, but just getting to like see a more full arc of your project over like several years. And that must have been an incredible experience, especially as a member of a newer lab. I'm sure you were given a good bit of responsibility, which is great to learn off of. Yeah.
Right.
So moving a little bit into your graduate career, which we're going to dive into pretty deeply in this interview. You are at UCLA now, as you said, and you are working in the labs of Dr. Andrews and Dr. Weiss. How has your experience been so far, and specifically as an LGBTQ plus graduate student in both of those labs and the department as a whole?
Yeah, so far my experience has been really great. I've had a lot of support from my PIs for basically everything that I do, and I've gotten to network with other LGBTQ plus graduate students, which is great. And we have gotten to just form like a small community of us on campus that can lean on each other and sort of be there for each other whenever we're going through things.
Yeah, it's very similar for us. We also have like our little bit of group of queer chemists in our department that always hang out whenever possible and being, you know, a social distancing safe.
Right. Yeah, I think that, yeah, I'm very lucky that Geraldo and I have found that at Michigan. And we know from talking to a few different, I feel like we've talked to at least three or four graduate students now from UCLA. And it seems like there's a lot of great work that's happening there in terms mm-hmm. of organizing and support for the LGBTQ community, as well as other underrepresented minorities and groups on campus. So it sounds like there's a lot of great things happening there.
Yeah, it's been great so far.
That's so nice. And so you are the co-founder and current president of Black & Chem. Could you tell us about how Black & Chem got started and how has been your experience working with it?
Well, it all started when in 2020, when a Black bird watcher, Christian Cooper, was racially profiled in New York Central Park while he was bird watching, and that brought on Black Birders Week. And from there, a whole bunch of different Black & X weeks started, including Black & Chem. And so far, my experience with it has been awesome, been formidable. I have gotten to just reach out to a lot of people in the community. And I think that a huge part of retention for Black folk in the sciences is going to be building community. And I'm trying to actually do more research on that.
Yeah, definitely. So good. Yeah, and so speaking of all of these activities, last August we celebrated the very successful Black & Chem Week. That was really nice, in which Black Chem is very highlighted and celebrated throughout the week. So can you tell us about the process of organizing Black & Chem Week and how important it is to bring visibility to the contributions of the Black community to the chemistry and other science fields?
Yeah, so Black Chemist Week was this awesome week in August 2020 where we celebrated and amplified voices and excellence in chemistry. And organizing it has been challenging and exciting at the same time. Definitely challenging just because there's a lot of logistics issues with getting everybody on board and on the same page. And but whenever the event actually rolled out, it was just so worth all of the all of the trouble that we went through and everything. And multiple people came up to us afterward and were like, this was, you know, just amazing. And I think that made it all worth it.
I think we can all agree it was a huge success, just being on social media, on Twitter that whole week, and very much something that I feel like hasn't happened in the chemistry field yet. And I think that speaks to the power of social media in general, just the power to connect and amplify voices that are previously not centered in a lot of conversations. What is something that was unexpected that came out of that week, and maybe something that you learned about yourself or this growing community?
I was surprised by how many Black chemists there are out there. I mean, before Black Chemist Week, I couldn't count on my finger. I could count on my fingers how many Black chemists I actually knew or how many Black scientists I knew. But there's, you know, quite amount of us. And but one of my favorite things that came out of Black Chemist Week for sure was something that happened earlier this week where one of our Black chemists had their art featured on the cover of Analytic Chemistry magazine. And she had made a post about it during Black Chemist Week about her art, and then somebody from the magazine reached out to her to make a cover, and so she got to paint this amazing portrait that improves, you know, just SciComm through art, which is, I think, beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's so cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And you said something very important, because there are a lot of Black chemists, there are a lot of queer chemists, there are a lot of, you know, all of these groups of chemists. It's just that we don't have, like, the platform or you know, the space to, you know, show all that we got, but that we are all out there. So it's great that we can find these, like, little bits of spaces to show, you know, our work or our passions and stuff like that. So exactly. That's amazing. And so we know that the network of Black & Chem has grown very, very rapidly after this. So what the future of Black & Chem looks like?
Well, definitely we're excited for the next Black Chemist Week in August. But some things that we're doing off the behind the scenes.
We're getting the tea here.
Yeah. The inside scoop.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're trying to go and become a registered charity. And so that's going to be a little bit of a hurdle for us in terms of getting through all of the regulatory affairs and things like that. Mm-hmm. And everything with the government always just works so slowly. So we'll see how that goes. But what else? We're also trying to sort of ramp up our events and have a regular series for Chem, Black and Chem Journeys and Black and Chem happy hours and things like that, possibly trivia nights. And so getting us together on more events online would be useful, even though I know that there's a lot of people who are sort of Zoom fatigued at this point in the pandemic. But
we're hoping
that. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, that is really exciting. And we wish you the best of luck with moving forward as the new president. That is very exciting that you're taking on that new role. I don't know, like, what is like being president of Black and Chem look like for you? Are you just like running around like a chicken with its head cut off, just like doing so many things at once, trying to organize everybody?
Yeah. No, there's so much that goes into it. But really, it's mainly just being a representative of Black and Chem in terms of collaborating with our community, collaborating with our other Black and X weeks and things like that, and sort of making sure everything runs smoothly, which is super nebulous, but it's but it's a big job.
Yeah, I bet it's very rewarding to be there.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. So switching gears a little bit, but still kind of under this topic of Black in social media campaigns, this week we're also celebrating Black in SciPol, or Science Policy Week. And you mentioned that you are interested in science policy and you currently are the government relations officer of the science policy group at UCLA. So can you tell us about how you got interested in science policy and how your experience has been working with this group at UCLA so far?
Yeah, so it's been really interesting so far getting into science policy. Basically, I have always wanted to become an elected official, and I feel like it's a great way for me to combine science and policy at the sort of interface. And so for the science policy group at UCLA, like, they have a great network of people, and they're very connected to local offices. So as governmental relations officer, my job was, or my position, through my position, I sort of started this program where students can be like scientific advisors to a local office. And so a lot of people were interested in doing that and helping out people. For example, if there was a bill on like microplastics, or if there was a bill on climate change, then we can have somebody who is in our, somebody at UCLA as a graduate student come along and say, hey, like, I have expertise on this, I can help you shape out and give you like evidence-based methods for writing your legislation and getting it out there.
Wow, that's amazing. That, I mean, yeah, that is a really great opportunity, I feel like, for graduate students to master the art of kind of science communication and explaining the importance of their specific research, which, you know, hopefully most of us are kind of experts in our very specific research field by the end of our graduate school journey. So I feel like that's a really great opportunity to be able to build those skills while also, again, building the trust between scientists and politicians and lawmakers. Mm-hmm. So kind of going along with that, can you talk about kind of the importance of science policy? And do you have any advice for younger graduate students or undergrads who are interested in kind of diving into this field a little bit more?
Yeah, so science policy is super important in just making sure that the legislation that we make are based on evidence and based on the, you know, the facts, based in science. The ability to communicate to our legislators is like so important, and that they are representing their constituents, which to be able to communicate with an entire group of people like that is huge. But yeah, so I'd say definitely get involved with or start your own science policy group. There's definitely a lot of interest in it. I think that another way to get involved is to get involved in local government. So things like city council and going to city council meetings and representing your department, your institution, with the specific issues that they bring up during the meetings.
Are you interested in continuing to science policy after your PhD?
I'm interested in going into elected office. Yeah. I don't know, and I want to be an advocate for STEM education and science communication. So yeah, that would be sort of my avenue.
Nice. So switching gears a little bit, how are you celebrating Black History Month now, February?
Oh, that's a great point. For me, I think I'm just relaxing. Yes. There's something, I think I see my own self-care as a form of, what's the word? Like when you're going against something.
Revolution. That sounds strong. What? Revolution. That sounds
No, but I think
rebellion. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a sort of rebellion against the oppressor, and like rebellion against all these factors that are causing me to, you know, like capitalism and like things like that, and the racism in the academy, and all of these things that cause people to be just stressed out all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's just like this culture of constantly doing and going that I feel like needs to be mitigated, really. Yeah, there's a lot that needs to be done there.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad that you're taking the time to take care of yourself and relax and rest. You definitely deserve it.
Mm-hmm. It's very important. Thank you. And so going along with that, and this kind of question we usually ask that, just because we want to educate and inform like the audience. But we know that it's really hard having to carry, you know, the as minority groups, having to carry, always having to educate people, for example. But we still ask these questions because we like to educate, like we said. So how do you think those in chemistry and other science fields can uplift and support the stories of Black chemists?
Yeah, it definitely depends on your position and your institution and things like that. But definitely amplifying things like Black in Chem is a huge part of it. And inviting Black scholars to give talks at your institutions, funding Black scientists, it really depends on your ability, on your what level you are in the academy.
Yeah.
But something that anybody can do is just amplify.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
So would you say that your identities as a Black LGBTQ+ individual have had any effect on your career thus far? And if yes, how?
Oh, that's a great question. Yeah, I think it has had a big influence. My relationship with my advisor, who is a Latina woman, was definitely driven by both of our identities and the intersectionality of our identities meeting and sort of mashing together. And that has influenced not only in my career, but in the way that I do my science and you know, the perspective that I bring to the table whenever I'm working in a collaborative project.
Okay, so one of our last questions, and this is one of my favorite ones to ask. Who is your chemistry role model and why? And you can have more than one.
I think definitely Dr. Mae Jemison, who was the first African-American astronaut. She is a huge proponent of diversity in STEM. And yeah, she's just an awesome woman. She's a freaking astronaut.
That's so cool.
Nice. I don't think we've gotten an astronaut answer before.
So. Yeah.
I like to see like the wide range of answers, because some people will say like they're immediate advisors, or some people will say their friends or their mentors and whatever. So I like to see the wide range of what people say.
It's always interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
So our last question, where can people find you on social media if they want to connect with you? And also if you want to plug the Black in Chem social media too.
Yeah.
So go to Black in Chem on Twitter. And my personal Twitter is Black in the Lab. I highly recommend you check out my page.
Yeah.
Nice. Awesome. Well, it was so nice to finally meet you, and thank you so much for being on this podcast. And we look forward to supporting you and Black in Chem and the work that y'all are doing.
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. Nice meeting you.
Talk later. Bye.
Bye. Thank you, everyone that has donated to our Patreon. We really appreciate it. We hope that y'all continue to support us like you've done so far. Remember, Black Lives Matter today and every day.
We hope that y'all are continuing to be safe and healthy and continuing to support each other during this pandemic. Remember to fill out the nomination form on our Twitter if you're interested in being interviewed for the show. You can follow us at MFQCpod. Take care, everybody, and stay safe. We'll see y'all soon. Bye.
Adios.